Let's acknowledge that there are passages in the sacred scriptures which are difficult for us to understand, unsettling for us, confusing or even disturbing. This encounter between Jesus and the Canaanite woman is certainly one of them. There's something, when we listen to it attentively, that leaves our heart a little bit uneasy. What is going on here? It seems as if Jesus is treating her unfairly, having a bad day. Appearances deceive, my friends. We all know this. You know, as a young boy, when I was in CCD class, catechism class, the reading of that day was about the cleansing of the temple and how Jesus comes in and overturns all of the tables of the money changers and people selling things in the temple, saying that his father's house needs to be a house of prayer. And the catechist said that this was evidence that Jesus was human like us, and he also made mistakes and sinned. I was about 8 years old. Thanks be to God, my parents had taught me better. And I knew that was absolutely false. That if that was true, if that were true, all of what we do is meaningless. How could a sinner like us be the one to save the world? How could his blood be the precious, perfect offering that leads to forgiveness and life for all of us? Jesus wasn't sinning in that occasion. Jesus isn't sinning in this occasion, in his encounter with the Canaanite woman. We must look deeper. We must strive to understand. So what is happening? Well, let's put things in context of what God's desire is. We heard a little bit about it from our first reading in Isaiah. God's ultimate desire is that all men and women would be saved. This is what he wants. Of course, that he desires for us to be saved implies that we're in some danger, or we've been defeated or overcome in some way. He wants us to be saved from the reality of sin and death. How does God go about saving? Well, in the history of salvation, God goes about saving by choosing one particular nation, one people set apart, the Israelites. He chose them, he says, not because they're the best or the strongest, but because they're the smallest and the weakest, and that it is through them that he will be able to most effectively show his glory. He chose Israel not for their own sake, but for the sake of the nations, that all peoples would come to know the saving power of God through them. And I think this is the reason, in my reading of this gospel passage, why Jesus allows this drama to unfold as it does in this encounter with the Canaanite woman. They have just gone outside of Israel. They have just passed into the region of Tyre and Sidon. A woman of that district, not an Israelite, a Canaanite, comes to him. And Jesus, like every good teacher, is going to take this opportunity and use an effective method to convey a truth. Not the method we're used to him using, a different method. So the woman says, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David." What does Jesus say? She's asking, not for herself, but for her daughter to be freed from this demon who torments her. Jesus doesn't even say a word. If you ask for something from your spouse and they don't even say a word, something starts to boil up in your heart, right? They're ignoring me. And later, the disciples come and say, "Send her away. She keeps bothering us." And Jesus says, basically, "Yeah, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she insists, "Lord, help me." And Jesus now addresses her directly. "It is not right to take the food of the children and to throw it to the dogs." Doesn't that sound like an insult? But she responds with this amazing humility and this deep, deep faith. "Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters. Just the very little of your attention would be enough for what I need." What is going on here? How is Jesus teaching from this instant? I'll refer you first to Bishop Barron's sermon. Every week he publicizes a sermon through Word on Fire, where he's talking about the walls and bridges, right? So Israel, how God has set them apart and chosen them, and that they are then meant to go out to the nations. And his reading of this passage. But how many people do you think in the course of this day had come to Jesus asking for healing or some other need? How many? Every day there were hundreds of people that came to Jesus. How many of them had this kind of faith that even though they were ignored or rejected and insulted, they would press on? And how would anyone know what kind of faith this Canaanite woman had unless she was given an opportunity to demonstrate? Jesus knows every thought. Jesus knows every desire of our hearts. So Jesus allows this to be revealed through this strange series of events. The fact that he doesn't give her what she wants right away is what allows this faith, this deep faith that she has, to be revealed. Just like when your child comes to you and says, "What's 18 minus 2 divided by 4? You know the answer. Your child knows the answer. What is better, for you to just tell them, or for you to let them demonstrate to you that they in fact know how to do it? So Jesus uses this point, uses this opportunity. Even more to the point, at least in my reading, Jesus is here to reveal to his own disciples what's in their hearts. This, I think, is his real purpose. Jesus is serving as a mirror for them to look into, to see their own heart and their own mind. Coaches will do this sometimes, right? You were doing something with bad form. The coach will show you what you did, will mimic what you did, because you can't see yourself playing the game. So often we are ignorant or don't see how it is that we're living or the attitude with which we do things. And so someone mimics it for us and then it dawns on us, "Oh my goodness, this is what I've been doing." Or, "That's the tone of voice that I've been using." The disciples want to keep those who are not of Israel away from Jesus. They probably don't want to be in Tyre and Sidon. They don't understand. They've lost sight of the fact that Israel's mission is to be a light to the nations. It's not just to be a sponge to soak it all up for themselves, but to go out to the world. Jesus needs to show this to them so that they can be shocked in seeing how scandalous it is that they're not loving as they are meant to love. In my estimation, Jesus, from the beginning to the end, wanted to perform this miracle, knew that he would. But he wanted to take this opportunity to demonstrate this woman's deep faith and to teach his disciples an important lesson. When we think of our Holy Catholic Church, which we understand to be the universal sacrament of salvation, that means the means by which God wants to bring salvation to the whole world, we must recognize that she does not exist for her own sake, but for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Are we living our lives that way? Or are we just trying to create the latest club or in-group? Are we here just to receive? Or are we here knowing that we have a mission? Salvation is Jesus' greatest goal. Are we like the disciples, preventing others from coming to him? One last thought here. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that experience what this Canaanite woman experienced on this day, being ignored, being rejected, being insulted. And you know, when that's our experience of life, it's really easy to translate that into our relationship with the Lord. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't care about me. He just keeps me down. He's preventing me from being filled with goodness and life. Please, friends, don't let our experience of the world be what defines our experience with the Lord. Don't give in to that temptation. We have a good Father. We have a perfect Savior. We have a tremendous lover in Jesus, whom the world has never seen one like him and will never see one like him again, who loves you perfectly. His desire is for your good, for your best possible good. And sometimes he delays in giving us what we ask for because he's increasing our faith or wants us to know that we have a true faith. Press on in faith like this beautiful Canaanite woman today. Learn from her example. Never doubt the goodness of the Lord. No matter what our experiences, no matter what we're feeling this day, he is good. He longs to give you good gifts. He knows what you need, and he will give it to you precisely when you need it.